It's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. It's going to be Improv Thursday, breezing through God knows what, and maybe coming up with some brilliant points, but who knows if that's going to be the case. Oh, this is fantastic. Kamala Harris has had an issue with her armed service agents, and do you know why? Well, there was a fight between them to the point where the person that had to be apprehended must have had their firearm removed from them. That's how dangerous this situation was. And everybody in the Secret Service, they're now saying that the person that was the danger is, well, hired based upon race and gender. That's right, a DEI hire, a didn't earn it hire. That's the whole problem with this DEI process. That's why we should all have serious questions for academia, where they are bringing people in to be doctors, surgeons, dentists, lawyers, you name it, all based upon race and gender. They're not getting there due to their mental faculties. They're getting there because of a superficial box to check off. That ain't good. So please, Secret Service is a high-stress job. Not a lot of people can handle it. The last time I looked into the Secret Service, everybody was essentially on two-year rotations. That's how much stress is involved with this, because they have to literally think of every single potential danger that they could encounter whenever one of these people goes out there. It's not easy. I mean, and on top of that, you have to assume that there's going to be a lot of testing for integrity involved in all of this. So you're talking about lie detector tests, people following you, people constantly testing your veracity in the face of adversity. I mean, it is not something that the everyday person could handle. So when you have somebody in there that didn't get to that position based upon their actual credentials, you're going to run into these problems. Now, we can only imagine what the story could actually be, because if you have a Secret Service agent being forced to remove the firearm, I mean, what kind of fight was there? I mean, were there tables overturned? Were doors slamming? I mean, was the gun actually pulled? I mean, who knows? And this is supposed to be Kamala Harris's team. Kamala Harris ain't no walk in the park either. We hear constant stories about her staff is constantly leaving because she's such an asshole. So I can only imagine. Next up, Justice Sotomayor. I mean, she's on the Supreme Court, okay? She looks like she never dries her hair. I don't know what gel she's using. Honey, a blow dryer would do amazing things for you. So this is from Kyle Becker. Trump's attorney decides to nuke Justice Sotomayor's argument. Now, this is not a big surprise either, because you have Sotomayor, you have Jumanji Jackson over there too, and then you've got Elena Kagan, who looks like a toad. Those, oddly enough, are the Democrats. So she says, apply it to the allegations here, talking about Trump and fraudulent electors. What is plausible about the president assisting in creating a fraudulent slate of electoral candidates, assuming you accept the facts of the complaint on their face? Is that plausible that that would be within his right to do? So here's the big problem about all of these DEI justices. They are automatically assuming that the election was valid. They're automatically assuming that you cannot question the results of the 2020 election. Even if evidence was provided, that evidence is automatically determined to be false because it falls outside of the scope of the case. This is the main problem here. It's the same argument the Democrats and the rollover Republicans tried to use during COVID. You mustn't question the COVID narrative, even if you have evidence that proves to the contrary of the narrative. They are playing the same game here. It was only an honest election. You can't question that. So Trump's attorney says, absolutely, Your Honor. We have the historical precedent we cite in the lower courts of President Grant sending federal troops to Louisiana and Mississippi in 1876 to make sure that the Republican electors got certified in those two cases. So the notion that is completely implausible, I think, just can't be supported based upon the faces of this indictment, or even, and of course, she cuts him off, and so on and so forth. Basically, He says, on the face of the indictment, Trump's attorney, it appears that there was no deceit about who had emerged from the relevant state conventions, and this was being done as an alternative basis, which means it was completely legal. So the idea that there were fake electors in all of this is completely thrown out with this argument, because you cannot play this game. The Democrats are just trying to run a story up the flagpole. And now here's the real sorry part about all of this. I wish I had the quote in front of me. Jumanji Brown Jackson, another Supreme Court justice, her argument was almost identical to special counsel's Jack Smith's argument. So how on earth does a Supreme Court justice have an almost verbatim argument as the prosecution in this case? That is an impossibility unless there is some kind of coordination, either going through the White House or, you know, fraternal organizations, you know, when they meet on full moons or new moons or equinoxes, or there are some kind of middle people, middle men, middle women that coordinate these efforts. There is no reason why a Supreme Court justice should be saying the exact same things as the prosecution without some kind of coordination. I mean, that's really the awful part of all of this. And why is this even being allowed? Why is this being allowed? It's because you have a corrupt justice system. It's because there is no real justice in the United States. It's beyond bias. And all of these judges that the media and the mainstream Democrats and the mainstream Republicans try to throw out there, oh, everybody is equal under the eyes of the law. The Department of Justice knows no bias. And yet we find all of these records that come out that people going after Trump are actually visiting the White House on multiple occasions and charging the taxpayer to make those visits, to coordinate those visits and the narrative in those court cases. That's not justice. That is not justice. That is bias. That is what is now being termed as lawfare, using the law as a way to go after your political opponents. This is fascistic kind of nonsense, crap that happened in the 20s and 30s. I'll even say it's Bolshevik type of nonsense that happened in the 19-teens and all throughout basically the 30s and so on and so forth. Out throughout World War II. I mean, this kind of thing is not supposed to happen, and yet here we are, and it's beyond accepted. The Democrats are more than happy to break the law, break precedent, engage in biased activities and policies, and nobody says anything otherwise, because that's perfectly allowed as long as it's get Trump. And if you think that if it is, oh, well, they're only going after Trump, they could never happen to me, you are wrong. You are beyond wrong in that case. Because if they're doing it to somebody like him, then they're going to be able to do it to somebody like you or me, because we have a fraction of the power that somebody like Trump has, no matter how much power you don't think he has. So it is lawfare. They are going against everything just in this country. I mean, look at it this way, too. Harvey Weinstein, remember him? He was the one that was basically abusing women for years, sexually abusing women for years, and saying, well, you know, if you want a part in Hollywood, if you want a part in a film, you're going to have to sleep with me. You all saw that picture of Oprah Winfrey with that famous girl now. I don't remember her name. The girl looks absolutely terrified, and she's looking at Harvey Weinstein, and Harvey Weinstein basically is a ghoul drooling from the mouth, knowing that he is going to be able to sleep with this girl, and Oprah is just handing the girl to him. Well, his court case was completely overturned. How on earth could that be overturned? The guy is a sexual predator. If he's in Hollywood, there's a good chance he's sleeping with minors or has slept with minors. In a 4-3 decision, according to the New York Times, the trial judge in the disgraced mogul's case had made a critical error. Oh, yes, 4-3. I wonder which judge they bribed to get this overturned in the New York Court of Appeals. And this allows prosecutors to call a series of women as witnesses who said that Weinstein had assaulted them but whose accusations weren't part of the charges against him. And this is the big critical error. I mean, this guy should not be anywhere near any human being ever. And here we are having to deal with this degenerate, filthy, disgusting pant load with bugs crawling all over him. And God knows how many STDs this fool has. And we've got to tolerate this guy in society somehow, for some way. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. This guy should be locked away, never to be seen or heard from again. But, you know, time marches on. And here we go to Arizona. Let's put on our thinking caps here. We've got a governor by the name of Katie Hobbs. So many of you have heard of her. She is beyond corrupt, working with John McCain Republicans, read between the lines, World Economic Forum, John McCain, Mitch McConnell Republicans. So basically, they're all for any kind of woke liberal kind of policy, read unfettered immigration. Notice how Arizona doesn't do anything to stop immigration. Why is that? Somebody should be asking those questions. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs on Tuesday vetoed legislation that would define residency in Arizona as a required proof of residency, such as a home rental agreement or ownership, to vote in the state's elections. So what does this mean? It means that anybody can claim that they are an Arizonan resident and they can vote in Arizonan elections. So how does this play in? Well, it is the same playbook that I have brought forward many, many times at this point. And that is, they're going to allow illegals to vote. They're going to allow people from Democrat states to basically holiday in Arizona around election time, and they're going to be allowed to vote. Nobody is going to question the validity of their claim that they are allowed to vote in Arizona because of this legislation. SB 2581 stipulates that a resident is an individual who has actual physical presence in the state for at least 181 days, with the intent to remain, but provides exceptions for individuals to vote if they provide evidence of employment, residential property, child school enrollment, and so on and so forth. And of course, Hobbs vetoes this. And it is being reported that there is an NGO in Mexico, Oversight Project is the name, that is distributing this kind of rhetoric that it is okay to vote in the United States, specifically voting for Joseph Biden. So there it is. There's the play. This is how the Democrats and the rollover Republicans are going to allow Joseph Biden, or attempt to allow, some Democrat president to make it another 4 years. I mean, the Democrats know that they don't want Joseph Biden. They want somebody else. They know that this guy, when, you know, he's trying to chant, I don't know if anybody of you has heard this one. He's out there and he's trying to chant 4 more years. And Joseph Biden reads the teleprompter and he says the word pause. So the intent was for him to say 4 more years. And then the audience gets all riled up and they start chanting 4 more years like a bunch of trained SEALs. But he reads the word pause. It's supposed to be a literal pause to let the audience go nuts. You're not supposed to read the effing word. And this is the president that has his thumb on the trigger, the nuclear trigger, the gold codes, the nuclear football. This dotard, this just malcontent, is the one that's in charge of this country. I mean, give us a break. The Democrats don't want him. Nobody wants him. He's being used as a stooge. He's the front man. Somebody else, probably Jeffrey Zients, running everything in the background like we found out. And this is only going to continue if this old fool gets in there again. We're going to see more World Economic Forum nonsense, more central banking nonsense. I mean, this just came out in a new white paper, so a report, and this comes from the World Economic Forum itself. So every country essentially has a central bank, and most wars are fought on behalf of the central banks. So you have the Federal Reserve and so on and so forth. Essentially, they don't work for the country that they're in. They only care about monetary policy and fattening up the pockets of the bigwigs with a lot of cash. The World Economic Forum is now boasting that 98% of all central banks are adopting central banking digital currencies. They are adopting this kind of totalitarian nonsense to completely control you. I've run through the dangers of this. If they don't want you to spend your money beyond 5 miles of your registered address, guess what? Being that it's digital, it won't work. If they only want you to buy pizza, you will only be able to buy pizza. If they don't want you to buy gas for your car using your cash because you're a bad egg with a poor social credit score saying icky things about COVID, then you won't be able to buy gas. If there is a climate crisis that we hear about now, if there's another medical emergency and they want everybody to be locked down, then guess what? Your central banking digital currency won't work unless you buy online. And being that they're going to force you into electric vehicles, that electric vehicle will not work. It will not operate. It will be shut down. So you are forced to stay put. That's the real danger behind all of this. And the Bank of International Settlements, they're the ones that are going to determine the ledger behind all of this. A DLT, distributed ledger technology, is what they're trying to adopt here. And what does this do? It basically forces underlying assets like real estate, equities, digital art, and even cash to be involved in creating what they call digital tokens. And on top of this, they're going to use blockchain. So what is blockchain essentially? It allows for a ledger to be created. So every transaction is going to be monitored and it is going to be to the most minutest of details. They're going to know who spent what, where the money went, where it came from, what time it occurred, what did you buy, so on and so forth. What was the exchange rate between all of this? You're also, now this is just me, more conjecture, you're also going to be looking at localized exchange rates. What do I mean by that? Even though it's a central banking digital currency, it's going to be a digital US dollar, right? You are going to start to see, may not be this year or 2 years or 3 years, maybe a 10-year plan here, you're going to start to see localized digital currencies. And that would mean there's going to be a New York State dollar, and that New York State dollar has a different exchange rate to a Kansas State dollar versus a Bank of America dollar versus a Goldman Sachs dollar versus a Miami dollar versus the euro, right? You're going to have different worths dependent upon what kind of digital dollar you own. And what's even worse is that it's not a real currency. That's only fake. It's actually an electronic coupon. And that coupon has the value of whoever the of whatever the issuer determines the value to be. So if Goldman Sachs says, oh, our Goldman Sachs dollar isn't really worth one equal to one United States dollar, it's actually worth two United States dollars. That exchange rate will change. And then it goes in the other direction. If they don't want your coupon to have a certain value on it, they'll be able to decrease the value on it. So your New York State dollar could in fact be worth in reality 50 cents compared to the Goldman Sachs dollar. Do you see how all of this works? This is the ultimate control mechanism for money, freedom, how you spend your dollars, how to slow down currency flows, how to increase currency flows, because I'll tell you what, they can also do this. They can also, you'll love this, they can also say that your digital currencies in your bank account, they're only good for 60 days, 30 days if they're experiencing an economic slowdown. In other words, you've got to spend that money within 30 days. And if you don't, the value of that digital currency will decline. Do you see how they can charge up an economy that way? Spend it, use it or lose it, or it will have less value for you and your family, and you will be stuck holding the bag. If you don't want to lose that value, then you've got 30 days. You can invest it. You can pump it into the stock market and basically gamble your money away, or you can start throwing it in your gas tank, assuming that you have gasoline anymore, buying things and so on and so forth. It's the ultimate control mechanism. And that's the real problem here. These megalomaniacs, hey, I said it right this time, have nothing to do with our freedom. They don't care about us. They do not care. They want to control you, and they want to make sure that you understand that. That's the big problem here. That's what's on the election ballot for 2024, maybe. So we need to make sure that that doesn't continue and fight against it. Okay, so you know, it is Thursday, so I will be on with Greg Bolden for the weekly wrap-up on America Emboldened's podcast on the America Out Loud Network. And as always, you can find me again on Monday nights on the America Out Loud Network, 7 p.m. And what else? You know, how many other podcasts can I effing do at this point? And Greg and I have been doing daily podcasts for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes to just wax poetic about whatever's on our mind. It's a little bit different than these mindless rants and professional podcasts that he has. So you can join us there, ask questions, make fun of me, make fun of him, and we'll have a grand old time. I will be back, as always, next week. Enjoy your weekend. Don't forget to be the lovable fuzzball that I know you are.